Hi, I'm Gilbert. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm the president of Every Nation Philippines. We're committed to plant churches, reach campuses, and bring the gospel to the nations. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
All right. We're talking about what shapes us. This is our fourth week into this series. And we've been talking about our statement of faith. And we've been saying that our doctrines, our theology shapes us. I pray that this would become our core beliefs that would enable you to endure the different storms of life because your faith is founded strongly in what the Bible says about who you are, about who God is, about what God's plan for the world, and so on. And today we're going to talk about the gospel. So I'd like to invite everyone to stand with me as we read from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says here, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentiles. The good news, this good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith, as the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life." Well, let's pray. Lord, would you continue to shape us? And especially with this doctrine, Lord, about the gospel, help us to understand this more. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to see how the gospel impacts not only our present life, but even our future. Lord, help us to be able to see the implications of the gospel, not only at the point of salvation where we experienced you forgiving us of our sins and granting us new life, eternal life, but Lord, help us to be able to see the implications of the gospel even now, Lord, and for the rest of eternity. Lord, enable us to be not ashamed of the gospel and to live by faith through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take your seats. And again, good morning. Good morning. Now, many people shaped history. Well, in the more recent past, ito, sa mga mahilig po rito, sa basketball, for example, there are certain greats of all time. Okay? And until today, pinag-iisipan pa ko sino ba talaga ang greatest of them all. No, but you know of Michael Jordan, you know of Kobe Bryant, you know of LeBron James, and of course, currently Steph Curry. Each one of them has made an impact and shaped the sport. So these are men who shaped basketball. Another set of examples. You have Bill Gates of Microsoft. You have Steve Jobs of Apple. Now you have Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, now Meta. And now you have Elon Musk. Okay, of Tesla, of X, of SpaceX, and many other things that he owns that you do not know. He probably owns a big portion of the world now and portion of Mars, I think, also. Okay, so anyway, These men, in one sense naman, shape technology. And it depends on your generation, who you subscribe to or who affected you most, right? But these are men who shape portions of our history in our recent past. As we talk about the whole idea of what shapes us, we're talking about certain doctrines and theology, understanding these core beliefs that actually you do know, you subscribe to, but just don't clearly understand exactly what you believe about these things. And the goal is for us to grow in our understanding of these foundational beliefs because these foundational beliefs shape us and enable us to endure in your own faith. I imagine, for example, one of the regular things that I get, that I come across when I talk to people who are going through difficult things, but then they still stay strong in the faith, this is what they would usually say. Oh, because I just know God is good to me. I just know God is good to me. That's a foundational thing. That's a foundational aspect or attribute of God, that God is good to you. So despite all of the circumstances, because they know, core belief, that God is good to them, they continue to stand. They continue to persevere in their walk with God. You would have to be able to find some of those non-negotiables in your life that would now shape who you are as a person, what you believe in God, how you live out your faith, how you walk this whole thing out. And that's the goal of this whole series. Now, quick story. You probably know of Martin Luther. We hear of him, right? He lived, one of the most significant things that happened in his life happened during the time that Magellan was landing here on our shores. You know, he lived through the 15th century up to the 16th century. Tapos nung panahon na yun, he grew up as a young man, eventually getting into monastery. You know, his life was almost in danger, you know, going through a lightning storm, and he was about to be hit by lightning. And then he cried out to God. And in that process, you know, sort of, Lord, if you get me through this, you know, I'll serve you all the rest of my life. So eventually God did get him through that lightning storm. That changed his life. Then he became a monk. But as a monk, he began to study the scriptures. But he felt just a deep sense of guilt and shame still, that just does not seem to go away. So in his own journey, as he went through all of his monastic duties, and he's very close, that's a rigorous practice of the word, prayer, and liturgy, and you're almost like thinking about God every day, the whole time, all of the hours during the day. And yet for some reason, he could not break through in his own relationship with God. And part of his wrestling was the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And that chapter and that passage that we just read, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile," that struck him in a new way. Says that, reading into verse 17, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Coming to an understanding that, what? I can be made right in God's sight. And it is not something that I accomplish through my own piety, through my own religiosity, through my own efforts at making sure that I am holy and that I do not sin. He came to this understanding. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. That changed his life. That was early 1500s. In fact, ito yung mismong account niya. At last, sabi niya, "Meditating day and night, and by the mercy of God, I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that through which the righteous live by a gift of God, namely by faith." And then he says, "Here I felt as if I were entirely born again and had entered paradise itself through the gates that had been flung open." And because of that, he started the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation that recovered the gospel. And, you know, in Latin, they would call it sola fide, sola gratia. Sola fide, by faith alone. Sola gratia, by grace alone. And that started the whole Protestant movement which is our heritage. Now the gospel has come to us. Sola fide, sola gratia. You believe in it as well. And it was God used in a big way, this man, Martin Luther, and what he experienced on that day. Amazing, di ba? We're going to talk about the gospel today. Among our 12 different statements of faith, this is our statement of faith on the gospel. So go ahead. We'll read this together again as we did in the past weeks. You may read together with me. 3, 2, 1, go. We believe the gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ to reconcile lost people to himself. He lived a perfect, sinless life on our behalf and died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and on the third day rose from the dead, securing our redemption forever. Having triumphed over Satan and the forces of darkness, he ascended into heaven as Lord of all. Everyone who repents and believes in him receives forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Amazing. So, take a second glance. So, if you ask the question, what do we believe about the gospel? This is what we believe about the gospel. Now, in reality, the good thing though is that we've discussed a big portion of that already last week. This first part. We came to understand that Jesus, fully man and fully God, he lived a sinless life. That God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life here on earth. And by his humanity, by his full humanity, he was able to represent all of the fallenness of humanity on the cross. But by the fullness of his deity, him being fully God, his sacrifice at the cross had infinite value to be able to bring salvation to all people of all generations for all time. Now we came to understand. I'd like to highlight the last part of that section that says there, He has securing our redemption forever. Securing our redemption forever. The idea of redemption is redemption from slavery. It's a market term where you see a slave, you buy a slave, and then set the slave free. That's the idea of redemption. In our day, the idea of redemption is whatever happened in the past, the negative things, for that to be turned into something good, that's redemption. Now, both of those meanings are true and accurate. And both of those meanings, Jesus has secured for us forever. I don't know if you've had a chance to be able to watch The Sound of Freedom. Pinalabas lang siya briefly. But it's an action movie by Jim Caviezel, sponsored by the ones who also did Chosen. And it's a story of human trafficking. It's a depiction of the sad reality in our day. Human trafficking being modern day slavery, wherein they would get people, whether lure them into a job abroad and then eventually turn them into either child workers or sex workers. And this whole idea of human trafficking apparently is so huge in the world today. We just don't know about it as much. And it is a counterpart of modern day, it's a counterpart of ancient slavery, you know. And now we're actually seeing it all over again. Now, did you know that that was where you stood before? We were slaves to unrighteousness, slaves to sin, slaves to the enemy, slaves to Satan and his demons. That was our state in the past. And as slaves are in our day, they cannot save themselves. Somebody would have to come in and deliver them in a sense. Jesus became that for us. With his sinless life, with his sacrifice at the cross, with his resurrection from the dead, he secured our redemption forever out of his love. Just because of his love. We have now been taken from our slavery and it is forever. In fact, you know, I love how Pastor Carlo in our discussion in the preaching team, he said, this redemption is the reversal of the fall. We talked about creation and the fall earlier. You know, I think 2 weeks ago. It's a reversal of that fall. You find that in Romans chapter 5 verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Because of Adam, that sin, that iniquity has been passed on to all of us. But because of Jesus, one act of righteousness. What was his one act of righteousness? His sinless life. That was important. His death on the cross, where he took the penalty of all of our sins. And then when he resurrected again from the dead, meaning that he overcame sin, death, and Hades. All of that happened by his one act of righteousness. It says there, his righteousness leads to two things, justification and life for us. Justification is that you now stand right before God, before the law, before the glorious standard of God's holiness. You now stand right before Him. That's justification. And then, it not only talks about justification one time. You see, justification is a one-time thing. It also talks about life moving forward beyond that. That is what the gospel does for us. Madalas pong perspective sa gospel would be like something that you respond to, pray about, and then because of that, coming out of that, you receive forgiveness of sins, and then you now have eternal life. That's true. But the gospel is not only effective or applicable only in that one moment, because that's only that one moment of justification. No, the gospel now gives you life after that. It's redemption. The reversal of the fall and the consequences of the fall. That God now begins to bring righteousness into your life, practical righteousness. He not only gives you positional righteousness before God, justified. He also gives you practical righteousness. It means the outworking of righteousness now. You realize, whoa, I was able to respond in love. I was able to respond in forgiveness. Whoa, this relationship began to get reconciled. Whoa, I now have motivation for work. Oh, I now have a vision for the business, for my job. Now my life is going the right direction. And you see that life coming upon you day after day after day. All of that is the fruit of the gospel. The fruit of the gospel in your life. It's a reversal of the fall, and Jesus has secured our redemption for eternity. Amazing. Now, let's talk about the second part now, and this is where we'll focus. You know, if you don't get to understand the technicalities of the gospel, just understand this. Jesus Christ died for you out of His great love for you. And man, kung hindi pa madudurog ang puso mo, kung hindi pa madudurog ang pride mo, kung hindi pa madudurog ang rebellion mo doon, ay nako, talagang, whoa, Lord, I want to respond to that. Your love, Lord, being manifested for me at the cross. If ever at some point in your life you doubt God's love for you, look back at the cross and get convinced again. Get convinced again. His love has not wavered, not lessened. His love overflows into your life until today. Look at the cross again. Now, let's talk about the second part of our statement of faith in relation to the gospel. Now, I know, parang mahirap mabasa, no? So, akyat natin. There you go. It says there, having triumphed over Satan and the forces of darkness, He ascended into heaven as Lord of all. We talked a bit about this last week. We said that Jesus now sits at the right hand of God. After He was resurrected, He ascended into heaven, and He now has full authority over everything. But in the process, He destroyed our enemies. Huh? Yeah, He triumphed over Satan and the forces of darkness. It says in Colossians 2:15, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him at the cross. He disarmed them. So, I need us to be able to get this, because this might not be your experience, but it does not in any way make this less true. The devil has no power over you. His demons has no power over you. You want to know for sure? Drive out a demon that possesses another person. You have the authority now. Really? Why? What happened? Because Jesus has disarmed them. All that they have is the huff and the puff and the intimidation. You know, yes, He's like a roaring lion, you know, looking for someone to devour. But His teeth, they've been destroyed, and He's on a short leash. He's on a short leash. Ibig sabihin, maiksi yung tali. Nagaganong-ganong lang siya, roar, roar, roar. But in reality, He could not even touch you. One particular time, we went to, help me remember, Dapitan, down south, Mindanao. And there, in Dapitan, there is a counterpart of EK. It's called Gloria Fantasyland. Amazing. I mean, first time I ever went there, it's like, whoa, we actually have this in the south, in Mindanao. And then we went to a horror house. Because they told us, this is the best one. Really? Mabilis ako matakot sa mga ganun. And then, but we were given an orientation at the beginning. Before we even came into the horror house, they told us, oh, super ano to, legit ha, yung mga gumawa nito, yung mga gumagawa doon sa mga noontime show, as in, super legit yung laman nito. Yung, pero wag kayong mag-alala. They will really come very close, but they won't lay a hand or a finger on you. They won't lay a hand or a finger on you. That was the instruction that was given us. But they will really try to get very close. So here we were, inside the horror house. So we were moving like that a bit, groups by groups. So remember, pastors and wives, okay? All pastors and wives. I mean, if you think about courageous people, it should be pastors, right? Ayan. So I was thrust into the front, and I was leading this team, right? So I should be in front. But man, I have very little tolerance for horror stuff. So as I was there in front, I brought one of our senior guys, Pastor Ed T. of Lucena. Pastor Ed, ikaw na dyan, sarapan! Ganyan. That's as we were moving forward. And then, really, things would fall. And then there would be full in full costume and, what do you call that again? Not just makeup, prosthesis. There you go. Talagang, whoa, as in, super realistic yung itsura ng mga nakakatakot, such that it came to the point that on our third stop, Let was the one in front of me already, okay? And I was pushing her, I was saying, and then for some reason, Let had more tolerance about, I was really afraid. I mean, whoa. And then there was a guy who was about to come near, and then Let simply said, no touching, no touching. Gumanun lang siya. So as much as it was very near like that, almost to your face, and then Let just said, no touching, no touching. She knew part of the arrangement was they won't lay a hand on you. They could intimidate, make you afraid. No touching. The enemy is on a short leash. Jesus has already triumphed over him on the cross. No touching. No touching. However much he intimidates you, makes you think that he is victorious, he has overcome you, and you're a failure, and there's no hope for you. No touching. He cannot do anything tangible to you. And you already have your victory in Christ. So come on. Take on your identity in Christ and command the devil to go. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist, humble yourselves before God. He gives you grace. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? How? Because he already disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Amazing. Right? Lord, thank you. Now, that should give you a bit hope. I know the anxiety is overwhelming. And you feel like, is there really a way out of this? I can give you. The Bible would say this. Would you be willing? The first step is for you to believe. So this will end? Yes, it will end. There's hope in this? Yes, there's hope in this. So my situations will change? Yes. Will God be here? Yes. Will I eventually win? Yes. Would you be willing to begin walking in it? Yes. However close the enemy would like to be able to harm you, come at you, no touching. It says further, everyone who repents and believes in him receives forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And this is the pivotal point of the gospel. This is where the gospel gets applied into your life. You see, the gospel has been given to everyone. It is good news given to everyone. But not everyone would like to receive the good news. Not everyone will apply the good news in their lives. It says here, repent and believe. Where did that come from? So that's our response to the gospel. Well, that was what Jesus himself said. At the beginning of his ministry, he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, I'd like to be able to bring some context to this. When Jesus was saying this, he has not yet died at the cross. There is no resurrection yet. And yet he says, repent and believe in the gospel. The word gospel is euangelion. E-U and then angelion. E-U meaning good or true. Angelion meaning message or messenger. So the idea of euangelion is it's good or true message. Which is why it became to us good news. It's good news meaning it's news. It's something that has happened. It is something that is, it's a message that's being given to you. And when you say it's news, it has veracity depending on its source. So it is good news. And Jesus was saying, repent and believe the good news. What was the good news that he was talking about at this time? He was at this time talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about the benefits of the kingdom of God. He was talking about you entering the kingdom of God. He was talking about Jesus or God being the king of this kingdom and him being in control and the kingdom of God already coming on earth. That was the good news. And it was an invitation for the people to believe in what Jesus was saying. Later on, fast forward, now that Jesus has died and resurrected from the dead, the picture of the good news has become more complete. That now we understand it is the finished work of Christ on the cross and by his resurrection. And we're supposed to repent. Repent meaning to turn from sin, to change our mind literally. To change our mind about what you used to believe. To change your mind about your rebellion and your running away from God. To change your mind about sin being the choice of the lifestyle of choice. To change your mind from continuing to run away from God. Rather, to turn away from all of that and say, I want to change my mind toward you, Lord Jesus. You are now my Lord. You are my God. You are my Savior. Repentance. And did you know that without repentance, there is no salvation? Sometimes the gospel is cheapened to people by saying, let's just go ahead and pray, and you know, you'll receive salvation and forgiveness from God. Not without repentance. Not without repentance. Repentance has to happen. There has to be a change of mind and of heart and a wholehearted surrender to the Lord Jesus. There has to be a change from what you used to believe into believing in Jesus already and just entrusting all of your life to God. Repentance. Change of mind. The original word is metanoia. Metanoia. Meta, metamorphosis. Noia, knowledge. It's a change of understanding. It's a change of mind. It says to repent and believe in the gospel. The idea of believing is to put faith. To put faith. Bro, favor, a quick chair. You know, I know you've probably seen this illustration repeated over and over again, but I'd like to repeat it again for just, this is still the simplest, one of the simplest and clearest way that I understand what it means to trust in God. You see, if this is Jesus, and he has done all of that for me. He died at the cross for me. He lived a righteous life, and that sinless life could be applied to me so that I could stand before God holy and righteous. This is him. But what he did for me has no effect because I'm not sitting there yet. And as I sit, I could sit upong piso. I could just sit a bit. Why? Because I still need to put my feet, you know, ready that in case the chair would be snatched from me, I would not fall. You know, I still need to make sure I have to have a, you know, backup, you know, religion, maybe my other practices, you know, just in case Jesus does not work. So, upong piso lang, tapos I'm not really depending my full thing. And many of us do that. You now go to church, yeah, you know, but you know, but in case Jesus does not work, at least I could still stand. But that's not trust. That's not repenting and believing. I have to change my mind about Jesus. I have to believe in him. I have to sit completely and put my legs up. I have to put my legs up. I have to put my legs up. No more dependence on my own ability to save myself. No more dependence on my ability to be able to change my circumstances, to control my life. No more trust and faith in my own discarte, in my own maneuvering of life. Rather, I put my full trust in Jesus such that if this falls, then I fall with it. Full trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, my feet off the ground. Am I willing to transfer? Go ahead and give God praise. Am I willing to transfer my full weight, the full weight of my life, my hopes, my beliefs on what the Lord Jesus has done at the cross, on the identity of who Jesus is, being the Son of God? Am I willing to turn over my life, complete control of my life, finally to him? Thank you so much, Pastor Jerry. Appreciate that. We need to conclude. 1 John 5:13, a beautiful assurance to those who believe. Do you believe? Have you believed in the gospel? Then this is the assurance that you may know that you have eternal life. And that's what we already have because of what Jesus has done. Going back to the statement, everyone who repents and believes in him receives forgiveness of sins and eternal life. So how does this shape us? How does this shape you and me? How does knowing the gospel, believing in the gospel, responding to the gospel, repenting and believing in Jesus Christ, you know, how does that impact your life today? First, implication. Going back to the passage we read right at the very beginning. I am not ashamed of this gospel, of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. Are you ashamed of the gospel? The word ashamed literally means you think that the gospel is disfigured or dishonorable. You know this gospel? I don't really think it could do what it says it could do. This good news about Jesus? No, I think it's in fact nakakahiya to be identified with the gospel. Now, on the other side, it could actually make you confident. You know what? This is news. This is news. Inasmuch as I would read GMA News, Inc. 7, I'd need CNN, I'd read BBC, And as I read all of these, I actually believe that what they're saying is true because the news source is credible in that sense. So what do? That's how you respond to news, right? You just acknowledge it as it's public story. It is public knowledge. It is a fact of life. And so the gospel, you don't even need to defend or prove the gospel. It's news. You can just refer them to history. Go back to history. There was a certain guy who lived this and that. No, it's only contained in the Bible. No. If it had not been true, it would not have been in the Bible to begin with, because the very first people who could have disproved it would have been the first century people in which time the Bible was written. And yet it circulated across the churches, and the people approved of it, believing that it was indeed true and it was accurate, because it just recently happened. They did not disprove it, because in fact they validated it and saying, that's true, it's news. You don't even need to defend it. It is news. News, by definition, has as much credibility as the world history books that you're reading, based on the studies of all of the historians of our past and the cumulative knowledge of the centuries. The gospel, it is good news. So real, so true. So it's not a question of the veracity of the gospel. It's now a question of how would you respond to this news. Will I be ashamed? Will I be willing to represent it? Now, in their day, when Paul would say, will you not be ashamed of the gospel? He was saying, will you still keep on representing the gospel even if it would cost you your property, your reputation, your business, your life? Now, I know that's asking too much, but we won't sugarcoat it as well. That's exactly what Jesus is asking of you today. Would you not be ashamed of the gospel? Because if you'd be ashamed of the gospel, then that also tells us that you don't really truly understand the truth and the reality that it contains. Now, on my end, I'd keep it simple. I'm not ashamed because I experienced it myself. I know. You might not believe me, but I experienced it. The gospel of God brought me into a relationship with God, gave me life, gave me peace. Overcame my life with so much joy. I have received it. I mean, I'm a recipient of the gospel. So if you ask me, will I be associated with the gospel? Oh, yes. Anytime, any day. Will I die for it? Now, that's another story altogether. But as I have grown in my relationship with Jesus, yes, God, I am willing to do so. Would I stake my life on it? Absolutely, yes. Because I'm a recipient. I'm a recipient of the gospel myself. Further, it says there is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. The gospel saves you and me. Saves means to deliver. It has delivered us from sin, from slavery, and it has the power not only to deliver you one time, it now continues to deliver you for the rest of your days. The gospel is what is at work in your life until today. The gospel, the truth of the gospel, this good news is still at work in your life today, continuing to bring deliverance and healing and salvation and direction and peace and provision and life to you until today. It's the power of God at work in your life until today. And finally, this good news tells us how God makes us right. How? Faith. Faith. To summarize that, I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel, this gospel is the power of God for salvation. And this gospel is received and lived out by faith. Pastor Rice Brooks, who's one of our founders of Every Nation, wrote the book, God's Not Dead. He wrote another one a few years back. He called it The Human Right. The emphasis on the human right. As people fight for human rights, what people would receive, he makes this assertion, the truth that everyone has the right to know. It's public knowledge. It is news. Has to be given to everyone. It's almost like you're a prisoner of war. Until today, coming from World War II, who's still in one of the barracks. Barracks of the Japanese from the 1950s. And still you're imprisoned there, not realizing that, hey, it's been more than 70 years. 70 years since freedom has been proclaimed. We have won over the Japanese. You're free. But because you didn't know it, you're still there. In prison. We're telling you now, you're free. The enemy has been defeated. You now have life in Christ. would you be willing to repent and believe? Now, some would usually say, what if I believe otherwise? Well, pwede naman. It's really up to you. But I also like this passage. I like this passage. It says in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. You could actually not obey the gospel. Apparently, the gospel is to be obeyed. It's not just something that you repent and believe, you obey it. Well, the closest I could explain this is an invitation from Malacañang is not to be denied. Yes, it's an invitation for dinner, but you can say, I'm not available. No, you work out your schedule. You go there. An invitation from God, from the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, not to be denied. Obey the gospel. Repent and believe.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a Victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us, discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.